Is that right, CD? Is that what failed? Don't know why. Remember Tim Reinhart. Tim's been sick. So remember him as you pray. All right. John chapter 14. We're going to look at one verse this morning. We're actually going to look at several. We're going to get warmed up, and we're eventually going to get to one verse. If you remember, as this chapter starts, we are just days away from the crucifixion of Christ. And he has his disciples in an upper room, and he is talking and dealing with those disciples. And the very first words of this chapter were, "Let not your heart be troubled." And from there, really, if you read the chapter after those words of "let not your heart be troubled," the conversation kind of takes a turn. They chase a few rabbits. Thomas wants to know where he's going. Philip wants to know how to see God, among some other things that that take place. And it's almost, if this was an English class, it would almost be appropriate, I believe, for us to maybe put a parenthesis at the end of "let not your heart be troubled," and then come down to about verse 11 or 12 and put another parenthesis as kind of these kind of events happened over here, but they were not the main, they were not really the main conversation that Christ wanted to have with his servants. Answering Thomas's questions, I don't think was a problem for Christ. I just don't think that was the main thrust of what was going on there, is where you're going. I think he minded answering Philip's question, but it just wasn't the main purpose of why Christ had gathered his disciples. He had gathered his disciples for the sole purpose of telling them, "Let not your heart be troubled." He was getting ready to leave them. He was getting ready to be crucified. They were getting ready. They were just before seeing some of the most traumatic events they had ever witnessed. They were about to witness their friend, their Savior, man they had walked with for 3 years. They had dined with. He had fed them. He had taught them. They loved him. He loved him. They were about to watch him die a horrific death. And so Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then we come to verse 15 where he says to them, "If you love me, you will follow my commandments. You will keep my commandments." I really think when we read that, a good way to read it would be, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's I think that was kind of the verse 15 is Jesus kind of, I believe, bringing the conversation. Anybody that's ever had a conversation knows how that works. You start talking about something, somebody jumps in and asks a couple questions, and kind of, you chase a rabbit, and then you have to kind of lasso the conversation back into the direction you wanted it to go. And so what Jesus is doing here is Jesus is getting them ready again for his crucifixion, for his ultimate ascension. And we're going to do something. God has kind of laid this on my heart as I went back and continued to study this. We're going to go back. We're actually, after today, we're going to back up a little bit. I think what we have here is in this verse, in verse 15, we have kind of the key to the kingdom. Here is the answer for everything. For the disciples, as they deal with the trauma of Christ's crucifixion, as they deal with the whole scene, the whole incident of the crucifixion of Christ, how are they going to deal with it? "Let not your heart be troubled." Well, how in the world can my heart not be troubled? Well, if you keep my commandments, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so I think these two really kind of belong connected together. And here's what Jesus shares with them. We are in these verses, if you back up, he says to them, in verse 12, here's what he says: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then there are, Powell calls this in his commentary, seven stars and a dark sky. As Christ here shares with his disciples seven things he will do for them if they will love him and keep his commandments. In verse 12, he says, if you love me, he says, if you believe in me, you'll do greater works than I have done. You'll do greater works than me. And so, number one, the greater works. Number two, he says in the next verse, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. And so we have the second one. If you go on in verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he'll send you a helper, a comforter. And so we have then the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. We promised, again, the presence of God. Then he says in the next verse, in a little while, you'll see me no more. But because I live, you will live also. And so he gives them that promise. And that day you'll know that I'm the Father. In verse, if you continue, I tell you what verse it is, but I grabbed a Bible this morning that I can't see the verse numbers in. It's about verse 20, I'd say. He says, whosoever has my commandments and keeps them is he that loves me, and he that loves me is loved by the Father, and I will love him. And so we have here seven things that that Christ says comes out of loving him and keeping his commandments. But they all come back to this verse, this simple verse, if you love me, the King James doesn't include it this way, but I believe it's an accurate translation to say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The King James, I believe, just says, if you love me, keep my commandments. No, Jesus, I believe, said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's no option to it. To say, if you love me, keep my commandments sounds like, well, you know, if you love me, why don't you think about keeping my commandments? No, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will follow my commandments. And so the key to unlocking all of these things that Jesus is describing here in this handful of verses, these seven, again, as Powell calls them, the stars and the seven stars in a dark sky, is this simple statement that he says we must keep his commandments. I am convinced we live in a puny, weak church age because we are not following this simple verse. Our churches, our believers, we lack power. Again, he said in that verse, you can take it apart, do whatever you want to it. He says, you will do greater works than I did. He said, you will ask, and I will give it. He says, I will give you the promise of the Holy Spirit. But it all hinges around the idea of, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's a principle, that's a practice that all of us use. Every parent in the world uses that principle in dealing with their children. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, then I will do things for you. I will bless you. Don't come home and ask me if you can go to the movies if you come home carrying a letter from the teacher. Don't come home asking me for some new toy salary or an increase in your allowance. Or I know my kids just said, allowance? What's he talking about? I allow you to live. There's your allowance. Don't come home asking me for stuff. If you just walked in with some horrible report card or if your room is filthy, you know how that works. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then I will do these things. Let's talk about this this verse here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Look what he says to begin with. And notice it begins with that word if. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so the first thing we have then is this kind of optional thing here that we have. We have a clear definition laid out for us when he says, if you love me. If you love me, then you will keep my commandments. Well, let's talk about this word love for just a minute. Most of us, you've heard me talk before about how we throw around the word love. We love chocolate. We love hot weather or cold weather. We love it when it snows. We love it when it doesn't. We love our dog. We love our wife. We love our we love our children. We love our sports team. We love a lot of things. Now, the interesting thing about the word that is used here for if you love me is, again, for those who heard this, it would have been crystal clear to them. All of you have probably at some time or another heard a preacher or a teacher talk about the term agape love, right? You've heard that conversation, agape love, sacrificial love. The love that God has for us, agape love. You've probably heard many times that the Greeks had basically three words for love. One was that agape love, that love that God would have. One's more of a family type love. One's more like a friend type love. And so they would use a different word in the context. We just say, I love chocolate and I love my wife, and we assume everybody knows the difference in the two. But they would have used a different word for the word love. Here's another one, though, that you may have not ever been introduced to. We have agape love, but this word is actually agapeo. The word agape is a noun. This word is a verb. Let's do a little test real quick. A verb is what? Action. Whew, I was worried about y'all. I know where some of you went to school. I wasn't sure if you would remember what a verb was. But a noun is a person, place, or thing. A verb is an action word. And so Jesus says here, if you have a actionable love, if your love translates into action, you actually have action going back and forth, that there is love that is a verb. It is a moving, growing, it is an active love. He says, if you have that kind of love for me, and he says, not if you love me like you love chocolate. Not if you love me like you love a sunrise at the beach. Not if you love me like you like a spring morning or a crisp fall afternoon. No, he says if you have a, and again, it's based in that agape, but it is a verb. It is active. He says, here is the difference. You're going to be active in your love. Y'all have heard me talk about this before. It bothers me that I have people, like you do, I'm sure, that will occasionally speak to you and say, I love you. Please, tell me my middle name. You love me? Tell me one thing about me. Please, you love me? Come on now. You like me, maybe. you don't want to see anything. You don't want to see me drive off a cliff or something. But you love me? Come on now. Give me $20. Yeah. Let's just test that love. You love me? Yeah. We say that pretty... You know, you stop and think about how much we throw around the word love. We're pretty free with the word love. You know, we toss that word around pretty generously. We're pretty wild with it. But Jesus says here, if there is, you know, not just that. If I am somebody you know, somebody who, you know, just come to church occasionally, or even every Sunday for that matter. He says, if you love me, action word. If your love, how about this? If your love shows, if you have a love for Christ that is obvious and apparent. How many of you, let me just stop and ask you that question. How many of you know someone? I'm not going to ask you to shout out their name or embarrass anybody. But how many of you know somebody that you know that person and you know they're not just a good person. But if you're around them very long, you know they love God. Anybody, you know somebody like that? I'll tell you one. I will embarrass. I will call names. Tommy Anderson. If you're around Tommy long, you don't have to be around him but a few moments to know a couple things about Tommy Anderson. He loves his family, and he loves God, not necessarily in that order. Don't mean to give him the big head or nothing, but I'm just, some of you look like you were struggling thinking of somebody. If you've been around Tommy, you know that. That love, you know, you ever been around someone, you ever been around a couple who it was obvious they were in love? Yeah, you see, so, look, let's just be honest here. Let's just be brutal for a minute. You've seen couples. I'm talking about married couples. So you look at them and you go, how in the world do they live under the same roof? You know, what has stopped her from putting a pillow over his head? You know, I told somebody yesterday, this is terrible, I know, I'm going to say it anyway. You know, this is a good time. Ladies, you put a pillow over his head at night and you can say it was the corona. You know, everything else is getting blamed on it. You know, listen, you see some couples who you really genuinely wonder, you know, how do they stay in the same house without choking each other? You know, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I know a couple, I keep waiting to get a call that there was a murder-suicide. I mean, it's just that bad. I don't get it. But then you see other couples who their love is apparent. Who you see it, who there is no question, that couple is in love. That's the love I'm talking about. Jesus is saying, if you have that kind of love for me, you will keep my commandments. How in the world do we not let our heart be troubled? Well, here's how. By loving Him and keeping His commandments. How many of you know that terrible feeling of going down the road and looking up in your rearview mirror and seeing a policeman? Why do we turn the radio down when he's back there? Just wondering. If anybody's got the answer to that question, I'd love to hear it. Do policemen hate loud radios? I mean, what's the deal? Miranda, do y'all hate loud radios? Sometimes, okay. Yeah, me too. But why? Yeah, but we see. But you know, how many of you have ever looked up in the mirror and you saw that policeman back there, and for a moment your heart just kind of and you look down and you're doing the speed limit, you're on your side of the road,
You know, you did. You stopped at the stop sign. You know, all the things. And you kind of like, well, he can't be after me, because I didn't do nothing. There's something about keeping the commandments that brings peace to the heart. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. If you love me, if you have a love that shows, you will keep my commandments. And so he says, first of all, we have this clear definition. And then he gives us a concrete demand. He says, you will keep. You know, you don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to study Greek. You barely have to be out of preschool to understand those three words. You will keep. Now again, I know the King James just says, keep my commandments. But if you go and you study the language, you'll see that it is very emphatic. The you will is very clear, clearly for understanding purposes is there. You will keep. He gives us not if you love me, please keep my commandments. How many of you been in Walmart or the shopping center or the mall and seen some poor little yuppie parent begging their little angel, please don't do that. Oh, please stop. Please put that back. Now, I done told you once, twice, 30, 10, 12, 15. My kids don't even like for me to see that because I want to smack my kids. Just kind of a kid in general, you know. Christ doesn't say, if you love me, would you please consider? Would you think about keeping my commandments? Would you think about doing what I said? If you love me, oh, pretty please. No. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Which of those words is confusing to us? You know, not they will, not you might. You know, you will keep. That word keep means to guard, to protect. It's not just, in all honesty, that statement goes a little bit further than just simply saying, I'm going to be obedient to His commandments. It actually goes to the point, again, to guard, to protect those commandments. Randy, you're on the hook today. I don't know why Archie's off. But a policeman, he takes an oath, what? She doesn't just keep the law herself, but she protects the law and encourages the law that others would do it. And so Christ says here, if you love me, you won't just keep my commandments. You won't just do my commandments. You will guard those commandments. You will encourage others to live by those commandments. That's the reason, that's part of what, I'm just on a tear here, that's part of what's gone wrong in our society is Christians have decided we're going to keep our Christianity internal instead of saying, being examples. Christ said we are to be the salt in this world, and salt isn't worth a hill of beans when it's in the shaker. Until we get out of the shaker and we keep, we guard, we protect, we enforce, we lift up the commandments of God. That's how we know that. Listen, let's think for a moment about a child. A little child's got, let's say they've got a little playmate comes over to the house. And the child knows mom and daddy says, for example, I'm no cookies before supper. Just making up some law. No cookies before supper. And they have a little playmate that comes over, and the little playmate says, I'm going in the kitchen, get me some cookies. What is that child going to say? Oh, no. Mama says no cookies before supper. If that child's smart. Right? If, you know, if it's against the rules, if Elsie had a rule, and Nancy had a friend over. If Nancy's smart, because I knew Nancy's mama, if Nancy's smart, she's not going to let that friend break that rule either. Right? Because Elsie just liable to whoop all of you. Yeah. If I can't play in the street, when you come over to the house, I'm going to tell you, you can't. Listen, you see what Jesus is saying? If you love me, you will keep, not just to yourself, you will keep my commandments. Folks, the church needs to get the commandments. They need to get the salt out of the shaker. We need to keep His commandments, not just personally. That's part of the problem. We have kept them too quiet. We've kept them all right. We've kept them under wraps. We've kept them hidden. He says, if you love me, you will keep what? My commandments. We have a compelling duty. My commandments. If you love me, action word, you will keep, enforce, guard, protect what? My commandments. You know, I've noticed something about the Bible. There are a lot of places in the Bible that I'm sure, like you, I read on occasion and I go, huh? Is there any places in the Bible for you? You read them and you look at them and you go, I don't get it. Well, what are you talking about? I don't understand that. Matter of fact, if I was honest with you, there's probably more of those than the ones I do understand. There's some things in the Bible that kind of make me look like a cow at a new gate. I'm kind of like, I don't get it. But I've noticed something. Have you noticed in the Word of God that when God wants to, something is really important? Generally, it is crystal clear. Look at that. The biggest word in the sentence is commandments. And there's not a person in here who doesn't understand the word commandment. If you love me, you will. The majority of the words are three or four letters long. I wanted to make sure we got it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Why? He's already told us, if you don't want your heart to be troubled, love me and keep my commandments. If you love me and keep my commandments, you'll do greater works than I did. If you love me and keep my commandments, you'll be able to pray and ask for anything. If you love me and keep my commandments, I will send the Comforter to you. If you love me, I will love you. Look at those things in those verses around it. Every one of those things hinges and sets on, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Think about it. Do we really think we can ask anything in His name and He will give it if we are not loving Him and keeping His commandments? No. Do you really think we could do greater works than Him if we're not loving Him and keeping His commandments? Everything in this section spins around this statement. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But something dawned on me as I studied this and I thought about it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Logic demands, and I know Baptists don't generally like logic. It kind of scares us a little bit. You didn't come here to think this morning. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we don't keep His commandments, what does logic demand? That we must not, come on, say it. We must not love Him. If we love Him, you will keep my commandments, right? So if we're not keeping His commandments, doesn't logic demand then that we don't love Him? Because He says, if you do love Me. The if is before love, not the keeping the commandments. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. So if you're not keeping My commandments, therefore, you must not love Me. Folks, we live in an age in the church where we think, as long as I am better than him, as long as I'm not like her, it's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, if you love me, you'll be better than Archie. If you love me, you'll do more than Debbie. That's not what he said. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you notice something else? You know, a lot of times what isn't said is as important as what is said. He doesn't say, if you love me, you'll keep most of my commandments. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How much simpler can he make it? How much clearer can he make it? That our hearts not being troubled depend on us keeping his commandments. If we're not keeping his commandments, shouldn't our hearts be troubled? When you were young and you knew you'd been disobedient, you knew you'd been doing something you shouldn't do, you knew your mom had said, clean up your room, and you didn't do it, and it was about time for her to get home from work, if you were smart, your heart got troubled. Right? If your mama said, do your homework, and she come in your room to look at your homework, and you hadn't done it, if you're smart, when you heard her coming down the hall, your heart got troubled. Or you pulled one of these. Yeah. And pretended to be asleep. You know why there's so much uprising? Why there's so much fear? Why there's so much trouble in our society today? Because we're not loving Him and keeping His commandments. Do you know why the church is weak? Malnutritioned, because we're not loving Him and keeping His commandments. Folks, everything hinges and depends on this verse. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I want to ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads while no one's looking around. And this morning, as we ponder the words of God, the very words of Christ, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you're here this morning and you know Christ is your Savior, I want to ask you a simple question. Can it be said you're keeping His commandments? Not part of them, not some of them, but are you guarding, protecting, enforcing the commandments of God? This morning, if you said, Jimmy, I want you to pray for me. I need to do a better job. I need my love for Christ to be visible. I know what you're talking about. I've seen couples who their love for each other is apparent. I know people who their love for God is obvious in everything they do. I want to have that kind of love. Would you just simply raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Pray with you. Lord, I want to show the love of God. I want it to be visible and apparent, clear in my life. more important, whether you're in this room or you're online, is this question. If you're not keeping His commandments, do you really love Him? This morning you're here and you say, I don't know Him as my Savior. I've never asked Him into my heart. I don't know Him personally. I don't know Him as my Savior. If you're online, if you're watching us streaming in any way, drop a comment, send an email, call, reach out to someone that can tell you about how you can know Christ as your Savior. If you're in this room and you don't know Him, you say, honestly, I'm not keeping His commandments, so I must not love Him. And you'd say, Jimmy, I need to know Christ as my Savior. I need to be saved this morning. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. I know I said that a while ago and then I called Tommy's name, but I promise you, I know Tommy, and Tommy wasn't embarrassed by me saying he loved God. But I wouldn't embarrass you for $1 million. If you hear this morning, you say, I know I need to be saved. Would you just simply slip up your hand and say, pray for me. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. God, we thank You that this statement is so simple, so clear. God, there's no debate, no room for misunderstanding. If we love You, we will keep Your commandments. Father, I pray today that You would stir us, You'd convict us. God, that believers would realize the importance of keeping Your commandments. God, if there's one this morning in this room, God, if there's one today watching online that doesn't know Christ, that doesn't know Him personally, God, I pray that You'd speak to their heart. God, that today would be the day of salvation. God, that You would stir in them a desire to know You. We thank You for allowing us to gather. We thank You for those online. We thank You for those in this room. God, we pray, Lord, that Your will would be done, that our hearts would be changed. And we'll give You the honor for it all, for which in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, let me remind you a couple opportunities. Again, obviously, we're hindered right now of what we can do, or maybe not what we can do, but what we feel like we should do. Again, every morning at 7 o'clock, if you don't get up that early, you can always watch it later. But at 7 o'clock every morning, except Sunday morning, it comes on YouTube and our Facebook page. And we've just been walking through the Psalms, about 10, 15 minutes. I thank those of you who are watching. Usually, it's been amazing. There have been days when we had 400 or 500 people who watch it. It's just me babbling about the Psalms. I was back 22 Psalms ago, however long it took me to get here when we were on lockdown. I thought, well, I've always wanted to preach through the Psalms. This is the best thing I can do. And so there it is. You can listen to it anytime during the day, but it comes on originally at 7 o'clock. So love to have you tune into that. Again, like it, share it, so that others will see it. Again, it's just the way Facebook works. It doesn't do anything for my ego. Matter of fact, I'm kind of questioning what people, they must be really bored. But again, it does help get it in front of other people. Then Wednesday nights at 6:30 on Facebook and YouTube again, we are there doing a study there. We've been walking through the Baptist Faith and Message, which is what we believe as Baptist. And 2 weeks ago, we had like 700, almost 800 people watch that. I'm, again, just blown away by that. And that's just one format. We're actually out there three different ways. And so those are some opportunities for you. If you should not be here able to come on Sunday morning. We are on Facebook. It's recorded and put on YouTube. We're on Facebook Live. And also, if you go to our webpage, it's live streaming there. And so there's all kinds of ways for you in a corona world to still be connected to your church. Thankful for that. We've got some folks who are not comfortable yet coming to church, who are faithful and watching online. And so thank you for that. We got some who come to church and turn around and watch it online. Y'all are gluttons for punishment. Thank you for that. Just wanted to make that available to you. As we dismiss this morning, again, I am going to ask you, I've been saying it and y'all are not listening real well, but I'm going to ask you again to kind of peel off from the back row first and work your way down, just to kind of keep our distance as much as possible. I don't know what to believe. I don't know how much to believe. Everybody's got a different opinion. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wear a mask. Everybody. It won't hurt. How's that? It can't hurt us to stay separated and apart, to get out in the parking lot and you can have your conversations. I do notice more of you wearing masks today, so you are getting obviously a little more aware yourself. If we will, let's peel off that way. As you go out, again, the offering buckets are at the door. If you want to leave your offering, blue bucket's the boys' bucket, the pink bucket's the girls' bucket. Okay, if you want to do that, all right, I did. Let's do that. The blue bucket, what we're doing we've got a large amount between the several churches already. We are working on buying, matter of fact, Miranda, if you don't get yours sometime this week, let me know. We're going to present to the Concord Police Department this week. Kannapolis Police Department has already been taken care of, but $10 gift cards for them to be able to go out and eat somewhere. We've tried to get restaurants that were police friendly, some local restaurants, not chain. Some of them are chain, but some of them local. If you'd like to donate to that, the blue bucket back there will be the police bucket. The pink bucket will be the your offering, or you're free to text at 704-802-1881. Better not listen to me this week. For some reason, that number won't come to my head. Anybody that uses that, is that right? 704-802-1881, I believe. Archie, you look like a bank robber. Got on a black mask. Get a white one for you. 704-802-1881. All right, let's dismiss in prayer. And again, if you will, just kind of peel out and keep your distance. Don't be sneezing. Ooh, Archie coughed. Who was that coughed over here? Quit it. Keep your distance as we go out. All right? Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you.